Welcome back to Mountain Money. Our next guest is Jason Ware, the Chief Investment Officer and Chief Economist at Albion. When we decided to book Jason about 10 days ago, or actually it was 2 weeks ago, I thought we were in the middle of a major correction in the stock market. It's not clear that that's really what's going on. And we're fortunate that we get to ask Jason that question right now. Jason, what's really going on?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, that's a great question, right? That's what everyone is trying to get their hands around is, is this the start of something bigger, the next bear market, or is this just a normal pullback within the context of a bigger uptrend that we've seen for the past many years? And, the reality is that nobody knows for sure, and it's not a comfortable answer, and it's not something you hear in my field very often, but that's the truth of the matter, is that, you know, as human beings, we're all cognitively wired to hunt for reasons to explain why the market does what it does and, you know, hopefully be able to make decisions that change the outcome of where the market's going, but the fact is we can't do that. So what we attempt to do, as opposed to try to predict where things are going, is look at kind of the backdrop and the fundamentals of the stock market and see if it warrants a move higher from here. And really, you know, as we look at it, that perspective, the economy is doing fine and corporate earnings are strong, interest rates are low, and inflation is in check. And those are really the things that are most important when thinking about whether or not we're still likely to be in a bull market or not, and all of those things seem fine. So we're cautiously optimistic at this point.
Let's pick one or two of those things to pick apart a little bit. As we look at the market today, again, 40 years ago when I was studying economics, I thought it was supposed to be that stock price would represent something related to current earnings. And so where are we from a historical perspective on where the market is vis-a-vis the relationship between stock price and earnings, or the price-to-earnings ratio?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I think that that is still true today. The best correlation to stock prices over the long run, and that's really the important part of that answer, it still holds up. So over the short run, really, the moves in stock prices is a function of psychology. It's a function of collective investor mood, and that is very difficult to predict. If you can tell me the average mood of the average investor over the next 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, then we can probably tell you where stocks are going to go. Earnings and stock prices can disconnect over these short periods of time. In other words, we're at record corporate earnings right now, and we're going into a third quarter earnings season where we expect yet another really strong set of corporate earnings results, probably 20% earnings growth year over year. These are good things, and yet the market can have volatile periods around what is still good information. When we kind of peel that back and look at valuation, which is at the heart of your question about the P/E ratio and the multiple that people are paying for stocks, we're still at a reasonable valuation on the market. I mean, we're trading at something on the order of 16.5 times earnings, and we have low interest rates and low inflation, which is not really it's not an expensive market. I wouldn't call it cheap, but I certainly wouldn't call it expensive either.
And in the past, when we've seen major downturns, from time to time, we've seen P/E ratios that are significantly higher than that, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. We have. And I think it's also important to mention that if you look back through decades of market history, bull markets don't die because the market is perceived as being expensive. Even if we were at an expensive valuation, 20, 25, 30 times earnings, I mean, we saw back in 2000, obviously, like a 33 P/E on the S&P 500. NASDAQ was around 100 times earnings. Those kind of things oftentimes aren't what create bear markets. It's not just because the market is perceived as expensive that the stock market pulls back. There's typically something else that creates the bear market, and more often than not, it's an economic recession. And the good news is, right now, we just don't see in the preponderance of data an economic recession as a high probability.
Speaking of good news, get the sense that we've been beaten down by bad news week over week here. And sometimes you just get the sense that the market will react to good news exponentially or bad news exponentially, and it's reflected in volatility, obviously. But how much of it can we take in the bad news sense?
How much bad news? No, that's a great question without a scientific answer, unfortunately. I wish I could do better than that, but you know, I think the reality is that the headlines, i.e., the news flow and the bad news over short periods of time, certainly infect the collective hive mind of investors, i.e., the mood that I was talking about a couple minutes ago. So when we see bad news snowball, then I think that creates a situation where, you know, the average person feels a little bit less good about the state of the world, about the state of the market, about the state of the economy, and then that gets reflected in stock prices over the short run. Again, going back to the good news, and maybe I'm coming across as a ray of sunshine during this period of downside volatility in the market, but again, the good news is that eventually, you know, bottoming is a process in the stock market. So, you know, when we see prices fall, you know, they don't fall forever, and typically after a workout period of the bulls and bears arguing about where the fundamental value of the market is, there is a bottoming process, and then the investors look to fundamentals to make decisions on whether or not stocks still make sense. And those fundamentals still look good. So unless we see news flow that directly upends those good fundamentals, i.e., again, the growing economy, corporate earnings that are strong, low interest rates, tepid inflation, until we see those things change, it's likely that the bad news is uncomfortable over the short term, but over time, things will get better.
One wild card that we haven't touched on would be the potential for an increasing trade war and or tariff issues. And that's
right.
It's been interesting that so far, even news developments on tariffs have not, at least I believe, been immediately reflected in major market moves. What do you see coming forward on that potential for a trade war?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the funny thing about trade is it doesn't matter until it does, right? So it's hitting that threshold where all of a sudden now we're starting to see the impacts of these trade skirmishes or trade war or however we want to define it starting to show up in the sales and earnings of companies, right? And showing up in slowing economic growth. And the good news is right now we haven't seen that up to this point. But again, oftentimes, what will happen is we'll have, you know, what seems to be a placid environment with a lot of trade rhetoric, scary rhetoric, and nothing seems to happen. And then all of a sudden, we're starting to get more information that's showing that it is starting to have an impact. And we haven't hit that point yet. Hopefully, we don't, because I think that would certainly be a headwind to the economy and to the stock market. I don't have an edge in being able to predict how the trade situation is going to play out. I suspect that given the administration's approach toward trade, that it's likely to end when they say it ends. In other words, when they feel like they have an off-ramp where they can perhaps save face, not do too much damage to the economy and to business in this country, and be able to move on to some other issue. I don't know when that is. It's very difficult to predict. But again, going into earnings, which we are now going into third quarter earnings for U.S. companies on the S&P 500, we're going to be listening to what CEOs and CFOs are saying about their business amid the backdrop of growing trade tensions, in particular with China. And so far, so good, but that could change if the administration doesn't dial it back.
Last question, and this is a pure crystal ball question without any political judgments being included in here. How would you predict the impact of the election on the market?
That's another good question. And, you know, I don't have a great crystal ball, but what I will leave you with is some historical context to help you think about this. So since 1946, we've had 18 midterm elections. And in all 18 of those instances, the market has been higher the 12 months following the election, and by a median of 14%. So that is not a prediction, but rather that is some perspective on typically how the stock market behaves in and around and after we get through a midterm election cycle. So if past is prologue, especially given the recent volatility and pullback in the market, which again is against some pretty strong underlying fundamentals in our view, we think things may be looking up from here once we get through the election.
A completely objective answer. Jason, thank you for spending time with us this morning.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Jason Ware, the Chief Investment Officer and Chief Economist at Albion Investment Management in Salt Lake City. Mountain Money will be right back.